What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Friday edition of Unpaved. He is Sean Salisbury. You can follow him at Sean Unfiltered on X. You can follow me at Adam G. Sager. Follow the show at Unpaved on Rumble. Make sure you go like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Unpaved. TikTok, Instagram, Spotify, iTunes. I'm sure there's others that I'm forgetting.
The only place we're not on is these nuts. Okay, yes. Thanks. There you go. Welcome in on Friday. Exactly. All right.
Sean. How are we feeling? We got a good weekend of football coming up. We got some college hoops. We got a full weekend, and I'm pretty pumped. I think we've got a good weekend of football, even though it's not one of these major weekends. I feel like the NFL is going to be a little bit better than we've seen in the last couple of weeks, and college football has enough games plus basketball to keep us interested.
No doubt. How do I feel? Have you seen me? Dude, look at the moneymaker real quick.
I mean,
I'm all the moneymaker, dog.
It is.
And you're asking me, you're literally looking me in the face on this show on a Friday. Heading in, Friday's my favorite day of the week because, you know, it's all that. You're jumping into the great weekend. And Friday's cool. You can, you know, stay up a little later if you got a job to go to. And you're literally asking the moneymaker right here, this moneymaker, if I'm feeling good on a Friday. What's wrong with you, man?
Sometimes, you know, it just, you never know. Hey, you know who's not having a good Friday?
The Raiders.
Well, yes, them, but Mark Sanchez.
Antonio Brown. There's a lot of not fired. Having good Fridays, right?
Yes, yeah. He was officially fired by Fox Sports today. And then we heard yesterday or the day before, I can't remember which one it was, Drew Brees was hired by Fox Sports to join their broadcast team. So Fox is pulling in some big names with Drew Brees, with Tom Brady, with Greg Olson.
Drew's got a chance to do what he didn't do the first time around on NBC. And he, first of all, a great player. I think we all hold him in the highest regard. We do. But he was not good at the start of this. It was not that. And one thing you can count on, he will prepare.
Yes.
It was not about being ill-prepared. If he doesn't know, he's not great at football. But there is something about this business when you get in, you have to own it like he did at quarterback. You got to jump through the camera. You got to catch him. He's opinionated. He's smart. He doesn't back off. He needs to let that rip in the game. Watching Greg Olson, he lets it rip. You see the guys who go, and I think he'll be good once he realizes, man, he's got all the stuff that some people just don't have. He's prepared. He's really, really, you know, he's got phenomenal football IQ. Now, one, don't be afraid to offend if you're talking fair, not making it personal. You know, somebody throws the ball right to somebody four times in a row. You got to tell us why and let him have it. That's just the way it is. But I think this is great. I think he wants – so I was listening to him on an interview. It might have been a Fox News interview for something he and his wife were doing. I can't remember, Segs.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about how, you know what, I can do – basically, as I paraphrase, I can do this that they basically haven't seen the best of him, that he wanted another shot at this. And, you know, they thrust him right in. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Just like football, you need a few reps, man. You just don't flick a camera on and go in there and dominate it. And he'll grab it. He'll be prepared. We know that. But the next step for him is to do what he just did on the field. And do not be – the hardest thing for players to do, Sakes, most of them, is to be honest about what you see and worried about, well, I've just removed a couple years. These fellas are my friends. It's not personal.
Right.
And anybody that takes it personal, that's a them problem, not a Drew Brees or Greg Olson problem. Now, I love Greg Olson. Greg Olson has a unique ability to criticize respectfully. But if it's out of hand, to say it. What do you mean? Come on now. Because if we're critiquing ourselves as players, you know when you're screwing the thing up or when you're playing good. So I want to see Drew Brees in this letter. It's a bummer the way he got the gig, but Mark Sanchez has got to be smarter.
Yep.
And I got news for you. The last thing on Mark Sanchez's mind right now, I would imagine, is worried about a broadcasting a game this week. There's other bigger fish to fry, right? But in the end, when he comes back or gets back to getting all this settled, he's going to look at an opportunity blown because he was, you know, was on a good team, had a good play-by-play guy, and those opportunities just don't reap. You know, they're not thrown at you every single day. But Drew Brees, if it'll match the way he played with letting it rip as a broadcaster, Drew Brees is going to be just fine. Thank you. But it's a tie. It's a second chance now for him to say, okay, now I know the first time around, like a coach says. You know, when I can go around and say, oh, I'm going to do the head coaching job better the second time. So, but tough day for Mark Sanchez. Good last few days for Drew Brees. But it's not a life sentence for Mark Sanchez. I don't mean it to protect him. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with all lawsuits and all that, but he made a mistake. He robbed Peter. He's going to pay Paul. And Fox started that payment right back this week by getting Drew Brees. And a quarterback replaces a quarterback, and both went about their game different. But Mark Sanchez did a nice job on the broadcast. He just got to get some stuff in his life in order.
Drew Brees, and he will be partnered up with Adam Amin and
Chris. Who's really good at his job. He does a nice job.
Yep. Yes, I get Adam Amin all the time. I don't listen to him all the time, but he's the Bulls play-by-play guy. So when I turn them on, that's who I'm hearing is Adam
Amin. Really carved out a good career for himself from where he started to now. It's great seeing it.
Yes, for sure. You mentioned somebody else who's having a bad Friday. That's Antonio Brown, hunted down by U.S. Marshals in Dubai and sent back, extradited back to New Jersey to face attempted murder charges stemming from, I believe it was a February incident at a concert.
Yeah. Remember he had the gun. He was carrying that gun, the handgun in the streets. Yeah. Yep. Shot it in the air or wherever he shot it at somebody. And, the talk always gets skewed, Segs, in those big crowds, right?
Right.
But that's no joke, man. Especially if, when you went about carrying and all those things, but also when you decide to discharge, you're a dad, you're a cop's son.
Yep.
I'm the son of a my uncle was a police chief in Downey. So all that stuff, I get it, Segs, but you're more close to it because your dad is more recent than my uncle. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, this is not one of those, you're carrying it in your vehicle and you're out camping and you're protecting yourself from bears. This is some serious stuff. And the question is, was Antonio Brown in Dubai running or was Antonio in Dubai on a vacation? Oh. I'm asking you. I would think, and I think some of Dr. J's right, got grazed by the bullet. So that automatically goes, depending on the legality of a gun, Antonio Brown, nobody else, was it attempted murder? Because we had heard there was a fracas that broke out too, right, Segs, on that? Yeah. And that's how that led to that. So Antonio Brown's going to have some, this isn't just a tweet that it is. And you know what's crazy about that, Segs? When I interviewed him at the Super Bowl, I had him and then when I sat down, this was a handful of years, maybe a decade ago, hell, 8-9 years ago, interviewed him. And he was so engaging. He was playing at the time, obviously, but so engaging when you interview him. He really was. This is before a lot of this stuff, what we saw in Pittsburgh. And it just, I'm like, man. And I had on there, and he was just and then after all this, you like scratch your head. But you never know what's going on in somebody's life. But this is serious stuff, and who knows? And I know they get the old free AB on Twitter. We'll see how this turns out. My guess is that he's, and I'm not the law, but that he'll get slapped on the hand probably harder than a normal slap. But makes me wonder what time, if you'll do any time, Segs. I don't know what you feel from a cop's son, what you think about this.
I mean, obviously
they hunted him down, and it's a federal situation. That's the problem.
Yes, the FBI gets involved. They went to Dubai to get him, so they feel like they have a good case.
Right.
Attempted murder, especially with his past over the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of incidents with him and baby mamas and some domestic stuff and all that.
Well, the Twitter stuff too. That sometimes you think it's funny that those guys watch every move you make. When those guys got windbreakers on with FBI on it, and they're chasing you to Dubai, they're not chasing you because you did something silly. They're chasing you because you did something serious. Unfortunately, for him.
I feel like prison, however long it is, might be best for Antonio Brown right now.
Save him from himself, Segs, you think, possibly?
Yes. I mean, just from everything we see, like you said, on Twitter and what he says when he's in public and what he does when he's in public by shooting off guns. And he's just, if he doesn't hurt somebody else, he's going to hurt himself, it feels like. And
you think there's an accountability issue here now that needs to be had with this. Yes. It makes sense. Like, and in the long run, it may be the best thing on the planet for him, even though right now I'm sure he's like, no, I didn't do anything wrong type of thing. It's, I get. But this is, like I said, when those guys decide to travel to Dubai to get you, it's probably not a misdemeanor. Let's just put it that way. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%. Last night, I did not make it through the whole game. I fell asleep. 10-7 was the final score. Broncos get the win over the Raiders. I mean, both teams were awful in this. Let's just put it that way. The Broncos defense was solid. I thought throughout, I thought the Raiders defense was pretty good making play early in the first half. I mean, what, Denver had two first downs, I think, and then they scored the touchdown to tie it going into half right at the end. But they didn't pick up a first down till about 2 minutes left to go in the half. And Bo Nix looked like he was scrambling all over the place. He wasn't decisive. Some of his throws were just way off target. He almost threw an interception early, like a bad interception. He ended up throwing two in the game. So Bo Nix did not impress me against a bad Raiders team last night. And that offense didn't impress me against a bad Raiders team last night. But the Broncos defense stood tall, gave up that early touchdown to Jeanty, and then kind of shut him down for the rest of the game and shut Geno Smith, who continues to struggle, down as well. Held Brock Bowers to one catch for 31 yards. Denver did what they needed, and you got win. You get a win in the NFL. That's all that really matters in the end. But, man, you can't be comfortable if you're Denver moving forward, no, knowing that you're going to have to face good teams at some point, and this offense isn't up to snuff. Good teams in the NFL.
Yes, I would imagine it was a bad game. And as a Raider fan, I'm watching it and continuing to – I was asked on a show a couple of days ago, is how difficult is it to continue to be a Raider fan? Well, you're not taking that out of my DNA, right?
Right.
But a hard watch, man. Geno last week threw four touchdowns in the losing, you know, even though they got beat late. What was that? Jacksonville beat him with the field goal late, Segs. That was it, yeah. I think. The same game that Little kicked the 68-yarder. They're a hard watch, and Geno's gone back to inconsistent, and he was not good last night, and Bo Nix was not good. The salvageable thing for Denver is you went in there and played like horseshit on offense and still won. So you're exactly right. 4 weeks from now, you may look back at that and say, we can't have any more of these this week. But 4 weeks from now, it's going to say W, first place, one of the better records in the NFL and the AFC. You won't care. Because sometimes you got to have people bail you out. No pun intended, considering we're talking about the feds when it comes to going to Dubai to pick somebody up. That you do. And this defense, they're my fantasy defense, Sags. And sometimes you want every week they show up. They sack the quarterback. They pressure the quarterback. They force turnovers. They're doing a lot of stuff. Their punter even had a rough night, okay? Hit it off his head step. But they were not sharp, the Broncos offense, but their defense is nasty. Can we get a punter to catch a ball, please? Okay.
Yeah. He had two punts that were just that one on the goal line that hit at the one, and it was 9-10 yards inbounds, and it shot straight sideways and went out of the half-yard line.
Oh, I know. Well, the same things that make you laugh, make you cry. Oh, what's going on, punter? What's going on, kicker? What's going on? And there's your winner right there to get him to 10-7. But defense is obviously, and give the Raiders defense credit. If I'm a Raider, honestly, if I'm a Raider defender right now, I'm pissed as hell. Pissed as hell. Why? Because my offense let me down in a chance. You had a chance to unseat a first-place team last night. When I say unseat them, beat them. At least give me a little bit of production. And you thought at the beginning, ooh, touchdown to Jeanty. They got a shot here, right? And then the defenses both clamped down. Offenses were not good last night. And Dr. J, there was a lot of talk about Chip Kelly, why the Texans didn't hire him when he left after winning the national title last year. Well, the Raiders paid him, what, $5-6 million as an assistant, whatever that is, Segs, to be the coordinator. He paid him damn near head coaching money. But right now, you're sitting there saying, and people were saying, we wanted a veteran. And I was one that said, man, Chip Kelly in Houston would have been good with this offense. And I know their offense is better than the Raiders, yet with all the injuries and Stroud going through concussion, maybe they're not. But Chip has not elevated them offensively. And so is it a personnel problem? Is it a Chip Kelly thing? Personnel's not real good on that team. If they got a good running back, they've got a hellified tight end and a quarterback that has made a comeback in his career. That's why the Raiders went and got him. But they are piss poor finishing out game sakes, whether it's missing a field goal, letting somebody drive down on you. There's a lot of problems. But the Raiders had a chance to steal one and didn't do it, especially on a night when Bo Nix looked very pedestrian at quarterback.
Well, and you just mentioned the fact that the Raiders have trouble finishing, whereas the Broncos are really good at finishing.
Best in the world. Best in the world right now at closing out games, even when they're shitty. Yeah.
Right. Agreed. But, I mean, at some point, you know, when you beat the Raiders by a field goal, when you beat the Texans with the offense that they have right now by a field goal, when you beat the Giants by 1 point having to come back in a crazy way, only beating the Jets by 2 points, only beating the Titans by 8 with their rookie quarterback making his first start of his career in week one. At some point, this is going to come back to bite you, and you can't continue to play these bad teams like this, because when you do face a good team, you know, they did beat the Eagles, and they beat them by 4, but we don't know how good, and that was when the Eagles were struggling. They're starting to play a little bit better now. I just don't know how much I trust Denver when it comes to later in the season or playoff time.
Single elimination stuff.
Elimination stuff.
You know what bothers me too is that they're winning these games, which is a positive.
Yes.
But at some point in time, you're going to lose one or two of these if you're within a field goal, because that kicker's not going to push one right, like you saw last night.
Yeah,
that punter is going to pin you back, and then you're going to turn it over in your own zone and give somebody the short field, a good team, and they're going to score, and then they're going to clamp down, and you're not going to get to go the distance 75 yards to put either your kicker or your offense in a position to win. So I'll tell you what, they're hanging on off of the way they're winning. It's not exactly clamped down with some by a steel chain. This is one of those, you start to see the shredding of the, you know, of the string. It's like one more of these, man, and you're going to mess around, and then soon you won't be around. You're going to lose one. Tribute. So it's one of those that I hate to say. It's like you got legs on both sides of the fence, but you do. Put it this way. Thank goodness for the Denver Broncos defense, or a couple of those games would not have been won. So you better get that thing shaped up. I know a win's a win, but you do that against Buffalo or Kansas City. You do that against Indiana. They're going to kick your ass 6 ways to Sunday if that's all. 10 points ain't beaten Alabama on Saturday normally in this league. It's just not, right? You're going to have to score more, but it did beat the Raiders, which has been pretty easy to do. One team that doesn't know how to close, another team that does, but they're closing because they're keeping it like within a touchdown. Their defense is letting them close it out. But what happens when you run into an offense that has a big day against Denver's defense, Sags? Then what? Right.
Well,
then what? So, and you don't want it to be, whether it's for playing for home field advantage throughout or in a single elimination playoff game, and then you're like, shit, it finally caught up to us. And inevitably, a baseball will find a guy who's not a good defender that you have it playing defense, or a rookie will come to the plate that shouldn't be coming to the plate because you have no pinch hitters left. Same thing here. Those will eventually find you, because you can't hang on and win 12 games late and expect that that's the way this is supposed to be. It's not. But Denver still found a way to win, and the Raiders right now are putrid when it comes to closing out games and playing a complete game with offense, defense, and special teams.
Broncos still have to play the Chiefs twice. They still have to play the Chargers again, who already beat them. They do have to play the Packers. But they get the Commanders, who are down Jaden Daniels. They get the Raiders again. They have and then the Jags. That's their other game they have, which I think could be a decent game, assuming health and everything as we move along the season. But Chiefs next week, that will be a game to watch, to see.
Hellified defensive game, too. We'll see the offense, right? Say, now, see how 6 weeks ago,
defense can play against Mahomes and company.
Seg, 6 weeks ago, wouldn't we have said, what a boring offensive game this is going to be, just by production, like from the Chiefs. Oh, so it's going to be, this is 16-10 because the Chiefs defense is good and their offense hasn't caught up yet. They've had two receivers injured. And then the Broncos, they come from behind, but it doesn't look pretty at times. And their defense is as good. Their defense is on record pace is what they're doing. So it's getting to the quarterback, right? I mean, they're playing damn good football. Well, now we're looking at it saying, well, Denver, I hate to tell you this, but the Kansas City Chiefs offense is, sans last week, is starting to look like their defense, and you're getting a complete group, and they can punt and kick as well. Their special teams is pretty damn good. And Segs, my fantasy team, now I think I'm 7-2 or 8-2, whatever we are right now. But heading into going into this week, I had Geno that didn't play well, you know, didn't give me a lot of points. Stroud's coming off concussion, and Jaden Daniels is out too. And those were the three I picked last in the draft because it was my league. Dude, I'm sitting there saying, I'm holding it. So I'm thinking, Geno, could you give me those 4 touchdown passes last night like you did last week when I did not have you as my quarterback? I had no choice, man. But and Genty, Dr. J, you make a great point. Genty is better than Chip's making him look. Ashton Genty's going to be a star in this league. I believe that. He's physical. He's nasty. He looks durable. And he's got wiggle. I friggin' love the guy. And I don't subscribe to first round running backs usually, but if they look like Saquon Barkley or Gentry when they get the ball in their hands and go in the open field and do what they do and continue to add to it, you give me the Derrick Henrys, the McCaffreys, the Barkleys. Those are the guys. Now, of course, those guys, even though Henry wasn't a first rounder, but I think Gentry will validate Segs as they roll on why he was a first round pick at a time when we really don't like to do that with running backs.
Right, for sure. Well, we've been teasing this for a couple of days, and I think it's something that will be fascinating to hear you talk about when it comes to the Houston Texans starting Davis Mills. You kind of talked about the other day what D'Amico Ryans had to say about starting Davis Mills. And what's your mindset as a backup quarterback that he's been a starter in the past? You know, he's started a bunch of games, doesn't have a great record, but he's has that ability to start, and especially as a backup, come in, start you for 4 weeks and maybe get you 2-2, something along those lines. But what's your mindset when you're coming into a game like this, even when your coach is kind of saying some stuff that maybe you don't like to hear as the backup?
Well, Segs, when this studio, and I appreciate the question, when this studio is done and I can stand, this would be one of those where you feel like you're giving a speech, like a guy walking back and forth on the stage, talking to your players or your teams on what not to say to your quarterback or what to say to your quarterback or team, you know, in wins or losses, right? I'm adamant about this, and I've kind of lived Davis Mills' world, right? You start some games, you're a backup. Right.
Yep.
But he got a lot of starts early in his NFL career. He didn't have a lot of starts at Stanford. Hell, I go all the way back with Davis Mills when he was a freshman at an elite quarterback camp I was teaching at. And as a freshman, he was better. It was in Virginia we were doing this. It was all the invites from across the country. Hell, they brought him up to me on the high school level because the truth is he was better than 95% of the high school guys, and a lot of them were getting recruited. You know, injuries and stuff at Stanford, but focused on this now. And to paraphrase, Davis Mills is the starter. When D'Amico was asked about C.J. Stroud and playing, if you have to play Davis Mills, we're not going to ask much of him. They play Jacksonville this week, right? Segs, that's who the Texans play. We're not going to ask much of him. You know, basically, and I paraphrase, the message was, we're going to keep it simplify. We're not going to ask him to do too much. Well, this offense needs a lot done. Yes. And here's what it'd be like me, Segs, I will never, and I never believe, and I would have fought my coaches, and Brian Billick or Tom Moore or Denny Green never. Denny Green always said, I've said on here before, drive the bus. And yes, Dr. J, there was a caller when I was on radio in Houston that didn't want the Texans to draft Davis Mills because he just didn't like his game. And so when I finally said, well, what don't you like about his game? How many times you watch him play? He said, I never watched him play in college. And so file that away for when you're getting your information from somebody. Not that there's not smart ones, but if you haven't studied it, looked at it, or at least watched him play five snaps, please don't give me your college evaluation going into the NFL about somebody if you haven't seen him or talked to somebody up close and personal who has.
Right.
I digress. Says, I never got the message as a backup, and I would have been bothered by it, and I think it was brilliant by coaches that I've had. Hey, man, just protect it. Don't lose it for us. That's such a bad way to approach. And the message that, in my opinion, that D'Amico, who I love, sent is we're going to basically dumb it down for a Stanford guy who's a smart quarterback and who was, hell, Segs, what did he get? He started for the better part of a year and a half to 2 years, right? That's a lot of football you play that you see while he hasn't been out there. And I understand he's a backup now. But my job as a backup isn't to allow you to diminish the game plan and put 21 other players that a problem and a coordinator where he's going, hell, Nick Caley needs all the help he can get right now and have to scale it down. Now, Segs, might make it, they might execute better, but if you're going to simplify it, you got to window dress it with a lot of formations and shifts and motions that you run the same play, 12 passes, five runs, but it looks like 50 of them because we've deployed guys different. Right. I'm okay with that. Hell, the Cowboys and the 49ers and Montana and Young and Aikman, that's what they did. North Turner would dial up a bunch of plays. They do a lot of window dressing, slant, flat, curl, flat, band post or post dig, old school comeback, a guy underneath in the flat, layering, you know, where you're doing all those things, but it just looked different because different bodies were same route, just different guys running it, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm okay with that, but when you're telling me I'm not going to expect much, you damn well should be looking at Davis Mills and say, I expect you to win. You've been a starter in the league. We're not taking one damn thing off this playbook because neither one of the guys are killing you with their feet. They're pocket guys. So pocket, RPO, you may not try to get him on the edge, but you're not RPO and CJ to death to get him on the edge either. No. So to me, the message already has been sent. Hey, team, we're gonna slow this down. And for Davis Mills, who's been there longer than a lot of the perimeter players they got a lot of young players there. So to me, if you're compressing it playbook, but adding formations and motions to it, make it look expanded, I'm okay with that. But I cannot stand the message of don't lose it. And that's to me what you're saying to him. Denny, and this isn't even a negative message. Denny just said, drive the bus, man. Drive the bus. And that meant drive the bus, meaning get us home safely. But we're not backing off making plays. At no time they say, Sean, now you go through the week and say, what don't you like? Hell, if you practice it 10 times and it never is successful, if I'm a coordinator, my job is not to put that in the damn game plan. We'll shit can it and go play what we do like. I mean, it's stupid trying to asking Tom Brady to get on the edge with RPO would have been a dumbass move, right? So how do we get play action mixed in without getting him out of a zone that he's not going to be effective in? So with Davis Mills and any coach, high school, college level, don't ever tell your backup, even if you are going to dumb it down, don't tell it. Okay, right. Don't sit there and send a message because the other guys are listening. Well, damn. Then what happens? It's like telling a receiver he's a decoy, Sigs. That was in 1960. We don't decoy receivers. You're all up, five of you. You better expect the ball every friggin' time that ball is snapped. Same thing with quarterback. So I took it as a pride, but also as an honor that, hell, I remember we were getting ready to play. I think it was New Orleans one time. We had like four backs hurt, Sigs. There was no. It was we were down to pulling guys up and around, right?
Yeah.
Not that they couldn't play, but they weren't seeing. And I'll never forget Brian Billick coming up to me and we're walking around. He goes, "It's you and me today." Not that he didn't, but our defense, meaning, dude, if we got to drop back and throw it 50 times because we are limited in what I can do calling runs today because we got guys who haven't been around here long enough, right? Yeah. So for me, but Brian's message was more of, dude, it's on your shoulders and you and me. If we don't get it done today, we got no fucking chance offensively. And he didn't mean it arrogant. He just meant, dude, take on the accountability. So if I'm Davis Mills, I want that responsibility because I've seen enough football and we can adjust on the sideline. The game goes on, but I think it's a bad mess. We're not going to ask him to do much. No. I'm going to ask him to do exactly what the starter does. Now, I'm not going to ask the backup in Philadelphia to quarterback sneak as effective as Jalen Hurts or RPO is effective. I'm not asking Josh Allen's backup to throw the football like Josh, but I'm still running the same combination of routes. I'm just going to do it at a time when it's necessary that I can't rely on superstar. I know that the starter is supposed to be better than the backup, and rightfully so. It doesn't mean I got to dumb it so far down that the rest of our team suffers. Because if my backup can't go in and call a game mentally or execute what we're trying to get done, then my scouting department sucks. I'm not coaching him. I'm not developing. And I shouldn't have him as my backup. And I think it's a horrible message to send. And I know that we may only see parts of the clip, Sags, but initially, you know what I would have said? And I'm not the coach, but I'd have said, what do I expect from my backup? He started plenty of football, and he's seen plenty of football. I expect his ass to go in there and execute it like he would if he was a starter and just like CJ would. Yep. It's not diminishing or shrinking CJ. It's simply saying, you know what? Go do your thing, dude. You think the Giants don't expect – hell, they expect Jackson Dart to do more than Russ Wilson did. Yep. That's why he's starting, and he's on what? You start seven of his career, whatever it is, Sig. So, nah, man, I don't care. He's been in the league long enough, and I think it's a piss-poor message that you send to players, especially a quarterback, don't lose it for us. No, how about go win the damn thing for us and then be judicious with the football like you would if you were playing at your family's friggin' Thanksgiving Day turkey bowl that we all go to. Just be smart with the ball. But I'm telling you right now, your ass is going to play. And Right. Pure. You think they told Nick Foles not to go make plays when Carson Wentz was hurt? Super Bowl? No, they said, bitch, go out there and do the things that you do. Hence the Super Bowl MVP. Yeah. I don't like the message. And if you're sending it as a coach, you're sending the wrong message. Even if you know your backup can't do it, then protect him during the game with your play calls. Don't send the message to him that he's all week long, hell, don't lose this for my team or they're going to dumb it down. Nah, that's a disrespectful way to do it. And you're also limiting what you can do with your other 21 players on both sides of the ball. I don't like it.
Well, yeah, and you're telling your defense, well, you guys might have to be perfect this week.
Right.
Or we're going to lose the game. against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And they go in with that mindset. And then the coordinator goes in with that mindset. And next thing you know, you're blitzing at a time when we didn't need to blitz. They hit a big play. And you've let a team that's not supposed to beat your defense beat your defense. See the domino and collateral damage it causes? Because everybody's listening. If I'm a receiver, I'm getting in the huddle saying, dude, let it
let's go
rip. Yes. Yep. Let's go, dude. I'm not sitting back and letting you – we're not playing it like that. And you go over there, and if you got a fist fight in the locker room, Nick Cayley and DeMeco Ryan say, cut this thing loose, let's go play, then you go do that. That's the way it's supposed to be.
I mean, let's look at even like, you know, the greatest show on turf and stuff like that. I mean, when Warner came in, it wasn't, hey, we're going to dumb it down. It's like, hey, let's go play. And boom, you know, he took off. And it's not like fucking Texans are – this great offense. They're scoring like what, 10, 12 points a game, something like that. It feels like every single week.
Score 10 this week, you'll lose, even though your defense is really good. So, right.
I mean, you got to go score. Yep.
Mac Jones doing the same thing because they're similar quarterbacks, right? Different size, but they're similar. They're not overly physically gifted, but they get enough done. And it's just so bothersome to me Listen, Chuck Knox always said this, my rookie. He called it giggle, garbage in, garbage out. That if you're filling your mind with garbage or we're filling your mind with coaching garbage, the only thing you got to spit out is the garbage before you can clear it out and you vacuumed your floor and now you can lay on it, right? Same thing here. And so the garbage in, you tell them that, well, what happens? Well, now I got to spit the damn garbage out to get it going. So wrong message, Segs, and I owe it to my team. Just like I say, I'm not in the feel-good business. My game plan is not to make Davis Mills comfortable. Matter of fact, my game plan should get him comfortable being uncomfortable because the position's fucking uncomfortable. I got news for you. It is. And if you can't do that, and some of us might make it look a little more uncomfortable than it should,
right?
But that is your job because at the end of the year, one game may keep you out of the playoffs. And guess what? When Bridgewater played for Breeze, 5 wins in a row. Remember that, Segs, when he goes 5-0? Those are the guys you want. I like to take pride in. I know Steve Bono did when he was playing. Steve DeBerg was great at it when Steve did both. Don Strock with Marino. I can roll through. Steve Berline was a Pro Bowl starter back. Rich Gannon. And then Kansas City goes to the Raiders, wins the MVP. Your expectation should be we're not having fall off, even though we may know you will. You can't look at it like that, Segs, or you're going in with a defensive mentality, which puts you in a bind. And then you prevent your quarterback from letting it rip anyway. Guys, there, pull the fucking trigger.
Exactly.
Let's go. But if you're, and I've been in both, hesitant to make a mistake. And like, listen, I may throw a pick and I may throw two. And I'm willing to throw a third if that's what it takes to get us a win. And hopefully Davis Mills has echoed that to them this week. But let it be a lesson all. You're not doing anything or any quarterback a favor by telling him we're not going to give you much. Nah, can't do it that way, man. Just can't.
Yeah, and you know, the next topic I want to talk about is the NFC North. And it, as a Bears fan, it kind of reminds me last year of Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus with young Caleb Williams. Basically, just every single time they talked to the media and everything they were telling us they were telling Caleb is, take care of the ball. Don't turn it over. Don't turn it over. Don't turn it over. Be careful with the ball. Protect the ball. Well, it got so much that he was turning down throws, and it stunted his growth, and now Ben Johnson has to build him back, and we're starting to see it more and more each week where he's willing to take some more risk. But, yeah, I mean, coaching, when you're trying to take something away from a quarterback who does something well like Caleb does, and then you beat it out of him, it can have a negative impact, and it clearly had a negative impact on Caleb Williams.
That's such a great point. It not only can, it always has a negative impact.
Yeah.
It always does. Now, in the game calling, you may come out of the game, like when Jackson Dart played his first start. Remember, he went and won in the Meadowlands 16-10 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Ran the touchdown in on the quarterback run on the draw or whatever. They didn't do a lot. But and he knows as a rookie getting his first start that they're not going to, let's add 47 plays for him. You know, going in, they're going to try to put you in positions to be safe and successful. Right. But just the constant, your mind and your body, they only know what you're feeding it, right? It's that garbage in, garbage out thing. Mm-hmm. And it bothers me so much because you get to a point, and then you get a guy who's been even at SC, Caleb Williams letting it rip, right? So you go there, you're already want to make sure you're protecting your team as a quarterback. driving the bus, as Denny said. Well, and then all of a sudden they keep telling you don't. And then there's a wide open hole shot to take six, and you hesitate, and then you throw it late, desperate interception. Now you're down three touchdowns. So what do? Now you're playing desperate the whole game. So you start forcing stuff you wouldn't normally force. And it all started with, oh, I'm afraid to take that shot because they keep telling me, don't turn it over. Here's what I said. Don't be afraid to turn it over, which means quarterback, play smart. But damn, dude, I'm not going to take that ability to go grab somebody around the throat. Segs, when you and I play golf, and we have before, when we're standing at a tee box or anybody you've played with, we're sitting on a tee box. It's a 500-yard par 5. And there's water that's a pond that shouldn't come into play if you hit a sand wedge, right? You hit a 110, 115-yard sand wedge to the middle. You're playing in a sand wedge hole on a 580-yard par 5. And there's water. And how many times buddies drinking beer said, hey, man, be careful. You're up two strokes, right?
Yeah.
And they got to give you, it's a carryover, and they pressed you. Birdies pay double. And you're sitting there with a driver in your hand and a doggone, there's a pond that you wouldn't hit if it was your first time playing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden your buddies keep going, man, that water's in play. And you can hear the subtle bullshit, right? And you're like, dude, are you out of your mind? I haven't hit that water since
then.
And what's it do? You overswing, you hit the heel of that club, and you hit a worm burner into the pond.
Yep.
And now you're hitting three and you're like, you motherfuckers, right?
Right.
And that would have never come into play. What's the difference, Sags?
Yeah.
In truth, what is the difference? Me walking on the field, hey, don't turn it over. Then you throw it, turn it over, and you're like, well, he told me not to turn over, and I still turn it over. So now we're screwed. And then when you have the shot, oh, it's man-to-man coverage. Chris Carter is being covered by a linebacker, and you hesitate. It's like, Sean, what are you doing? Well, you told me not to turn it over. He had him by 3 yards, which in the NFL, that's a huge window, right? Not the normal coffee can-sized window. And you didn't pull the trigger. Hesitant quarterbacks sit next to the guy who is the guy. You give him Gatorade. And I can tell you this, indecisive quarterbacks find their way to the bench. And then the guy who's not afraid to make a mistake, show me a quarterback without balls dangling down to his ankles, and I'll show you a loser. Show me a guy who's got guts but is smart with it, and then we got a chance to win. But you can't take that out of him. And I think it's a bad message. And don't gets tiring because eventually you do when you hear don't, and it's not the type of do you want to hear. It's the don't that they don't want you to do, but they filled your mind with garbage. And, oh, well, my bad. Now I didn't take the shot. Sometimes you regret the things you didn't say as opposed to the things you did. And sometimes just let it go. He knows his responsibility. Backup quarterbacks know what their job is. At least I hope. If they're not, then the bus leaves tomorrow and we'll go do something else. There's another job for you somewhere else.
Talking about the Bears, the NFC North, it's the only division with four teams at 500 or better. We got the Bears playing the Giants this weekend. We've got the Lions playing the Commanders. We've got the Packers. Oh, and I'm going to forget who they're playing, the Eagles Monday night.
Yep.
And then you got the Vikings playing the Ravens. So, I mean, there's a chance.
It looks like a better Ravens team and a healthier one than we saw earlier this year.
But with the way things are looking right now, do you think the NFC North gets three teams into the playoffs? Or do you think maybe the Bears and Vikings fall down, or maybe the Lions struggle, whatever it is?
And I'm not even looking at all the records they got to play, Sex, who they're
playing. Yeah, I haven't either. Yeah.
What are the standings? Give me the right now what we're talking about. And I mean, I know off the top of my head, but just when there's tiebreakers, let's see, we got
Packers are sitting at 5-2-1.
Right.
Detroit's at 5-3. Chicago's at 5-3. Vikings are at 4-4.
Okay. And who's at the top of the NFC record wise right now?
It's
49ers. Rams are like three losses. 49ers are what, two losses?
Eagles, I know, Seahawks, Bucks, and Rams are all 6-2.
Okay, so take this out. So go put it this way, Sags. Four of those from each country. So let's say Detroit's winning the division, just for the hell of it, right? For talking's sake. And we the Rams and the Eagles and the Tampa Bay. Now we got three for about five or six, right? So that means 49ers. Put it this way. Before I walk you through it, three teams are not going to make the playoffs in that division. Two will.
Okay.
Two are going to make it, in my opinion, because I think the third wild card comes from, more than likely, in my mind, the NFC West. I do. Because, Segs, it goes back to what we talk about, the garbage in, garbage out of telling what you need to tell a backup. how many times have we heard on this on a regular basis, say, on a regular basis, it's okay, just win in December.
Yeah, right.
And then Baltimore right now is thinking, damn, if we'd have just won some in September and stole a game or two, we wouldn't have to play lights out the last 8 weeks of the season. So what 49ers have done with this, or a couple of these teams, they can afford a December loss because the guy's got a sore hammy. You had to rest him. And I'm talking about it. We look at the big picture, right?
Yeah.
But if you take care of it, at least you allow yourself a little rest, or we don't have to rush somebody back and still make the playoffs. So to me, winning early is so friggin' important. Everybody thinks it's just the fourth quarter. Well, fourth quarters are fine unless I gave up 30 in the first half. Then I got to chase it. It's really tough to overcome. Same thing with wins. If I can spot you a 6-2, 7-3 record 10 games in, now look what you got to win three to get in six. Then you go 3-4 and you're in the playoffs.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going 2 in the West, 2 in the North. Even though the two teams in the North that aren't going to make it, in my opinion, Segs, will be able to – you could make an argument that the seven teams in there, that they will have beat a couple of those teams in that seven-game playoff, and then obviously your division winners. I'm going to say what's even more of a scramble is right now any of those teams can win the division in the North. Right. That's the thing. So if you're smart, you want to play your ass off to win the division and don't even count on dealing with the wild card right now. But I think 2-2, 1-1, 1, Segs. I think that's the way it's going to work.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how that North continues to battle each other and see who comes out on top. Does Green Bay have that little bit of edge because they tied, you know, where, or are they behind because of the tie with the Cowboys where the, I think it was 40-40,
right,
in like week two or week three when they faced the Cowboys. Switching over to college football, Luke Fickell will return to Wisconsin. And as I texted our group chat last night, what the hell is Wisconsin doing? You're what, 2-6 right now, 2-7, whatever you are. Nothing's going right. You're just going backwards since he's been hired. And you're going to keep this guy when I know there's a lot of big jobs open. I know there's a lot of jobs maybe on your tier open. But damn, you could go get someone that may be better than Luke Fickell. Or are you just think it's, hey, we're Wisconsin, we're not going to pay. I don't even know what his buyout is. We don't want to pay it. We're going to go into next year. It gets a little bit smaller. Maybe we can afford it then, and then we'll try and get back to winning.
I'm sure Luke Fickell's a really good guy. He was a hell of a defensive coach, did a nice job at University of Cincinnati. And I get why they hired him, Segs, don't you?
Yeah.
He was a high coordinator candidate. Well, he was getting the same talk as a guy like Drinkwitz is getting, even though Eli's the head coach. And then when he got the head coaching job at Cincinnati, he was getting that same buzz heading into the final that season before he left to Wisconsin. There were people that were interested in it. I get it. But I can tell you this. I think it comes down to, for me, one thing, Segs, just one. And by the way, what a great college town. What a great place in Madison. If they don't want to pay, Segs, this – because you're not keeping him on nice guy.
Million.
Right. You're not keeping him on nice guy, and you're not keeping him on production. And you're not keeping him on pass because you shouldn't.
Right.
You're keeping him on what are you doing at Wisconsin since you've been the head coach, and it hasn't been good. And when Brett Bielema looks like Nick Saban.
Right.
You know, he does. So
and he took a down Illinois program.
That's exactly
brought
right.
Them up quickly.
This team has gotten worse, not better. In an NIL transfer portal time, they have gotten worse, and they just can never get the quarterback thing right as a starter for whatever reason. For the most part, I know there's aberrations. They're not getting better. This is a one-way decision that the athletic director of that university has decided we are not paying two coaches. And so that's why they're out of the – there's no other reason you'd keep him. None. You can't say, well, man, the way it's going, it looks like we're getting better. They're not getting better. They haven't got better all year.
Yeah,
and Wisconsin fans who will show up and they will party and the tailgate and the jump and all that. Phenomenal place. They deserve better. I'm sure Luke's a good guy and he's a hell of a defensive coach. It has not translated to head coach in the Big Ten. He's got the job next year. Why? Because of the money. They simply don't want to pay it. Unlike others that said, screw it, we're moving on. We don't care what we owe because it matters that much. And I know it matters to the fans. Luke Fickell better come out in September, Nick. He better finish strong, and he better – because, Segs, I got news for you. don't think because they said it now that decision's a guarantee. What happens if they get their ass kicked and people have bolt the program and they suck the rest of the year? You can turn around and make yourself, you can turn around and say, you know what, we are going to get rid of him in the offseason. It doesn't have to be an in-season decision, but he better start September fast next year, or you will, that'll be your first coach fired in the month of September if they're 0-3 next year. But it's simply a money thing. There's no other reason why you would keep him, period.
Well, and Sean, you bring up next year because it's interesting that you brought it up because, excuse me, I saw a tweet earlier, or it was last night I saw it, where you're not going to fire this guy. You're going to keep him. And while they're not getting better, just like we talked about, next season they avoid playing in the Big Ten, Oregon, Ohio State, Washington, Michigan, and Indiana.
He better be undefeated in September.
They open up against Notre Dame.
Okay. Then 4-3-1. But you get the point. Like, they better show signs of Wisconsin's back to being competitive. 9 or 10 wins next year. It's a bummer, but I am actually shocked. I'm more shocked that he's staying than Brian Kelly getting fired or James Franklin getting fired during the season. I really am.
How does a team avoid Oregon, Ohio State, Washington, Michigan, and Indiana all in one season? Like, that's you, if you're not representing yourself in the Big Ten championship and you avoid those teams, then not only should you be fired, you should be ridiculed the rest of your life.
I don't know. The scheduling or the AD decide that he's like, guys, you owe us one somewhere. Like, does the Big Ten owe the AD at Wisconsin favors on the scheduling? I don't know. But, dude, avoiding 2 or 3 of them, we'd be all over their ass.
Yes.
Oh, we'd crush them. To avoid a half a dozen of them about, you're like, who are you? What are you playing in the Pac-12 that's no longer the Pac-12? What are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah. They're bad. Toughest competitors. FCS.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the Big Ten next year. Well, we don't know about Penn State what they will be, but Iowa and USC, those are your two hard games in the Big Ten next year if you're Wisconsin. So,
well, the Iowa game will be 13-10, so you don't have to muster up a lot there.
Right.
And USC, I don't know who our coach will be. I don't know if our offense is going to be great again, I take that back. Our offense will always score. Yes. I don't know if we're going to create the different culture and dominate it, but I can tell you this. It's no guarantee for USC even with Luke Fickell back that we win that game unless we come out and win the rest of the season. Like I said, with all that talk and Josh Pate saying, keep an eye on Lincoln Riley, I don't know what's going on there. I do know this, that Luke Fickell has a rabbit's foot in his pocket. This better be the best offseason recruiting transfer portal NIL that he's ever had, because it will not last if they come out and play next year like they did this year. You talk about a guy who's on some borrowed time there. What a blessing it is for him. And you know what? Cool for his family. He doesn't have to worry about, right now that he's getting paid. But there's a lot of fixing to do, and they should probably start on the offensive side of the ball, Sags.
You mentioned it'd be nice to get a couple wins to finish out the year. Well, tomorrow they play Washington, who's ranked 23rd. Then they go to Bloomington to take on Indiana. And then they play at home against Brett Bielema in Illinois, who's had a really good season, who I think will thrash Wisconsin. And then you finish up against Minnesota in kind of your rivalry game.
They'll be lucky if they go 1-3.
Yeah.
They'll be lucky if they go 1-3.
And Minnesota's been playing better football over the last couple weeks with, what's his name? Row the boat. I can't think of that guy's name right now, but the Minnesota head coach, the crazy guy that jumped around. I got
Fickell on my mind. I was going to say, one thing they will do is play with great energy. Minnesota always do, Sakes. Hell, you think he ought to be carrying the ball? He ought to be running white boy in the slot running routes, you know what I'm saying, with his energy. But, dude, why are you now asking me this? And I'm sitting here thinking, who's the head coach, dude?
P.J. Fleck.
Yeah, P.J. Fleck. There you go. He's got the name of an act, like an actor. P.J. Fleck on Murder, She Wrote. There you go, with Angela Lansbury. There you go.
Switching conferences to the Big 12. Is this Texas Tech BYU 7-8? BYU's undefeated at 8-0. We've got Texas Tech at 7-1. Is this a play-in game for the Big 12?
It absolutely is. And I'm not so sure, depending on how it goes and the rest of the season goes, that Okay, Segs, let me ask you this. Both teams win the rest of their games. One of these teams takes the loss, but it's 28-24, late win for whoever wins the game this Saturday. And both of them have, what, one loss going in. It'd be, wait, no, let's see, both are, Tech has one
if
loss
Texas right now. If Texas Tech wins, they'll both have one loss.
There you go. So let's say Tech wins, but it's close. And then they both steamroll through the rest of their schedule, regardless of they play. Two teams in or one?
Well, I think that would put, I guess it would really depend on who
wins the conference championship.
Yeah, who wins the conference championship and what else happens around them when you're looking at.
So in order for a two loss, if you lose this game and don't win, if you lose this game, BYU, what they got? One loss as well?
No, BYU.
They're undefeated still, right? There you go. No. That's right, because if Wisconsin, I mean, if Tech wins, that'll give them both one loss. That's exactly right. If they both go undefeated the rest of the way, you think one obviously is going to get in. We know that. Mm-hmm. You think that they'd have to have help from their friends to get two in. You don't think a two-loss runner-up in the Big 12 is getting in. Is that what you're saying to me?
Well, I think it'll be close, and it really depends on
what happens in front of them, right? Some of the SEC and Big Ten in front of them. Fair enough.
Yeah, or you know, which it feels like they like the Big 12 better than the ACC.
Right. Oh, they do.
But if you have, you know, Georgia Tech and Virginia both with one loss, one of them's getting in, we know, because of the conference champion. But then what about the other one if they're both sitting at one loss and then you've got like a two-loss Texas team, let's say, will have beaten Texas A&M in their last game of the season. So does that springboard them over?
Of course it does, because it's
a one-loss Texas Tech or BYU team.
You and I both know that. So let me ask you this, Six. Put them in order. All one-loss teams.
Okay.
Well, or an undefeated. You can even give BYU a loss for the hell of it, even though I think BYU has a real legitimate shot. They're pretty friggin' good. But yeah. Both of these teams are. Tech, BYU, Virginia, Georgia Tech. You got $100,000. You got to bet it on one team. They're in the Final Four.
Oh.
Who's the best team? Give me an order how you pick them.
I would
rank them 1 through 4. They all got one loss, right? Let's say BYU gets beat by Tech.
Yeah.
When we're sitting and staring at one losses in the, and the old, if the season ended then, and those four were in a 4-team playoff to get in, and you got to rank them 1 through 4, and you got $100,000, you got to bet it all on one winner. Who you picking?
I go Texas Tech, Georgia Tech, Virginia, BYU.
See, those I would go, I think I would go Texas Tech, BYU, Texas Tech, Georgia Tech, BYU, Virginia last.
Okay.
I think BYU. Right. I actually think that BYU just, I think BYU, they're all capable of beating them all. I think Tech, both of us think Tech's the best, correct? Even though they got the one loss, you think they're the best? But I'm going to tell you, Segs, BYU, they are really, really friggin' good, man. They don't, even as an undefeated team, you know, people, well, who do they play or what do they, you know, there's always something that bothers people about BYU. This is going to be a huge weekend. If they win this, they have to stub their toe big time on their way, right? They're in a great position. But I guess that we both think Texas Tech's the best, and you think BYU, you put Virginia ahead of BYU in a head-to-head match.
Yes.
You had to bet $100,000.
Okay. Yes.
And it all depends on where they play as well.
Mike Fittery here makes a great point. What about Louisville? They're sitting at 7-1.
Dave, nobody gives them any respect.
Yeah, and I kind of just missed them when I was looking at the rankings real fast.
And I only put 4 even teams, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know what? There's another team in there, and it is. And Louisville is capable of beating all of them as well. Well,
and they should have beaten Virginia.
Had them dead to rights, right?
They played them. Yeah. They beat Miami, and they have, let's see, they have Cal. This weekend, then they have Clemson, SMU, Kentucky. So if they go beat Clemson, even a down Clemson, you go beat Clemson and then SMU. And if you don't win and you're a one loss team, a one loss ACC team, and you know, we'll have to see who plays in these conference championships, but are you in?
Who do you like better, Louisville or Georgia Tech?
I lean towards Georgia Tech.
Who do you like better, Louisville or Virginia?
Louisville.
Louisville's
dangerous. I wish I would have remembered them when we first
started. Yeah, but I was actually they're my dangerous. Focus was on the Big 12 and those two ACC teams, but we did. But Segs, it's true. Louisville is the, oh, that's right team. They are. And now I'm not saying that's the right thing to say, but we get that that they're the, oh, that's right, Louisville 7-1. They're really freaking good, and look who they beat. Point is, Segs, of those five teams, they're all five really friggin' good. Two of them are more than likely, at least one, they're going to be sitting at home watching.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They really are. And right now, I wouldn't be able to tell you which team I'd want to send home right now. Hence why we don't have to, because we got conference championships and more games to play.
Yeah.
This BYU-Texas Tech game is a monster game. Is it game day in Lubbock? Is it Lubbock this week, Sags? Are they in Lubbock?
I don't know.
Provo.
I paid attention to that.
Am I wrong in thinking that that's the college game day this week?
I'm pulling it up now. They are Lubbock. Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a watch, man. It is going to be one hell of a watch, and I can't. Matter of fact, when's the last time college game day was at Tech when Leach was there? Has it been that
probably
long?
Probably. I mean, without knowing off the top of my head, yeah, I would guess.
They got it going. So that game, I think, like I said, I thought college game day was going to Lubbock. I didn't think it was in Provo, and they are. So that ought to tell you how big they think this game is. I think it's a friggin' going to be a great one to watch.
It's going to be fascinating to see. All right, time for our, six-pack of picks that we do every single Friday, where we pick three NFL, three college football games.
Good week for us last week, Sags. Anytime you win more than you lose, we'll take it.
Definitely. So let's start in the NFL. We're going to go Ravens on the road, who are 4.5-point dogs, to the Minnesota Vikings, with that over-under sitting at 49.5.
Give me the Ravens with the points. Okay, they're so plus 4.5 on the road?
No, minus.
Oh, they're minus 4.5. Oh, I thought you said plus, because I didn't even look at the spread. I like when you put them, who we're going to pick.
Vikings at home.
And Vikings are, yes, there you go. I want the dog. Give me the Vikings at home. I think this is a field goal game, and I think McCarthy will do enough to keep him in it. You're giving me 4.5 points in my building, and I'm still not sold that the Ravens are back. I'm taking Minnesota plus 4.5. I think this is a weird line with that kind of point spread on the road, Segs. I do.
Yeah, I think it's a weird line, but I feel like the Ravens know that they have to win these games right now. They have.
Doesn't Minnesota, though, too, Segs?
They do.
Minnesota in desperation, too, kind of?
And maybe it's just me trusting Lamar more than McCarthy right now.
And I would, too. Agree.
I think that McCarthy is going to be a good quarterback in this league, and he does know how to win from his days at Michigan. I just trust Lamar right now that the Ravens are pissed by the way things started. And it feels like they're going to kind of just start taking it out on teams into this division.
Yeah, if you'd have told me 2.5 or something, I would have said, give me the Ravens. I understand. I get feel. Yeah, 4.5. That hook matters to me in these two. I would take the Vikings at home and they're building. I don't know if they're going to win it, but we're not talking about winning it. This point spread stuff. So give me the Vikings at home.
Okay, yeah, and the 49.5, I would just stay away from.
I'm not touching that.
Patriots at Bucks in Tampa. Tampa, a 2.5-point favorite with a 48.5 over-under.
Do you have your pick already?
Yes. I'm going Drake May and the Patriots go into Tampa and get a big win for them, kind of cementing themselves as a real threat in the NFL to compete for a Super Bowl. I don't think they'll get there, but I think they're showing themselves each week that even in a close win last week, I like close wins for a young quarterback in this type of season where you got to go out and get a win, even against a bad team, that it can help you in the long run. But as long as you look good doing it, like Bo Nix last night, that doesn't really help him. He's won enough games where he's looked good. Last night, I thought he was bad. Right. And that's the reason the game was so close. But I'm taking Patriots.
I think we're going to get a really good look You know, I think of the Patriots. I told you Segs 2 weeks ago, I think that even though Buffalo, everybody has them higher, I don't think the Patriots are going away, and it wouldn't shock you. And I don't know if they're in the playoffs, if they win the division. I think they can hang around the whole time. I think this is a really good message game for them on the road against a Tampa team that does another team that has won some late games this year. You know what? I think Baker Energy carries them through. I think Tampa, we've kind of forgotten about them after a couple of games. And I think we do at some point in time, New England's got to come down to earth, I think. Give me Tampa at home, and Baker Mayfield's the difference. They get a couple turnovers on defense too. I still am a huge believer in Drake May, but I think the Bucs win this at home. Give me them.
And I took the under as well at 48.5.
I would have taken the under too, 100%. Right.
Rams, a road favorite. They're also -4.5. Against the 49ers in San Francisco with a 49.5 over under there.
Dude, that just seems, again, man, this line, that's just hard to, I mean, the Rams are really friggin' good. What they're counting on is that their D line is going to dominate this game. Say.
Yes.
Now, we are on the old, what's his name? With the Mac Jones. Not going to be able to provide a lot of movement. That's not his specialty. It's a big spread for a reason. I think the 49ers are really good. I think this is a fourth quarter game. I can't pick the Rams 4.5 on the road against the 49ers. 49ers, I know, banged up. And I just think that the 49ers are going to be good. Mac Jones is making enough good decisions to win a game and keep you in it. The ball's not hitting the ground much. I think the Rams can go in and win, but 4.5 points, I feel the same way I do about Minnesota. That's a lot to give away at home for a team that's pretty friggin' good. Give me the 49ers inside that number. I'll take those points.
Okay. I have the Rams beating them by more than
– You're going to have favorites all the way across. Other
yes,
way,
I am.
Other going, than the Tampa thing, right?
Yes, I'm going road. I'm going the road team road, in every right. single game that I think right. Will win. And I like the under, 49.5. I would say slightly under. I don't think they'll go crazy here. And we see like a 31-24 type game. I don't see anything like that.
And every time, and Mike talked about 49ers being banged up, they all, and listen, every time I see a team that goes into a week and everybody says, we all have done it. Oh, they don't have any weapons. They're banged up. They, like when Tampa was down to their fifth and sixth receiver and pulled it off, there's something to be said. And I think Mike Shanahan's coaching his best that he has, Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan is coaching as well as he has since he's been there, because they have no business being in this position right now with all these injuries. Give me the 49ers, a heavy dose of McCaffrey in the run in the pass. 49ers inside that number, kind of a field goal game either way. I like San Francisco in the game.
All right, let's switch over to college.
I think the Rams can win the Super Bowl, but in this one, 4.5 is too much in my mind.
I think switching over to college football. We just talked about it. BYU at Texas Tech. Texas Tech is a 10.5-point favorite, and the over-under sits at 52.5.
My inclination is to take the over in BYU, Sakes.
Okay.
That's a lot, but it's like, once again, that's a lot of points, but that's also a huge spread for an undefeated team. I know they're going on the road. I think Texas Tech's going to win the game, but, man, that has backdoor cover written all over it. I know, you know, BYU and Texas Tech, feel good story about the Texas Tech barber going through the accident and BYU's fans raising money. I think this is going to be a really good game. I once again am going to take the dog in this. Give me BYU inside the number, but Texas Tech to win the game overall if I'm betting on the money line. I'd probably safer in my mind, Segs, I'd probably bet the money line on this for me and take Tech to win it. I know with those points, but what did it say? The line is past the key number. You have to take Tech. Yeah, I get that as well. I think 10.5 points. You said there is a half, right? I gotta take. And unfortunately, we don't have a chance to go through first half and second, all that stuff. Right. We just kind of give you the over under. I think BYU's playing good enough to keep it inside the number, even though it's in Lubbock. I'm going to go BYU.
I have the exact same thing as you. I like BYU, and I like the over. I think 10.5 is too much here. It feels like that backdoor cover. Maybe even I think BYU could have the ball at the end with a chance to win.
100% agree.
So I'm going to be.
I mean, that's an ass whooping if BYU goes in there and gets beat by 10 plus.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yep.
Tech's capable of it, but BYU is also capable of waltzing in there and winning the football game outright, too.
All right. We got A&M, who's a 6.5-point favorite on the road at number, I think, 20, Missouri, whatever Missouri's ranked, but still ranked.
I think A&M can win the whole thing. I'm in a underdog feeling about this this week. Okay. Give me, you said they're 6.5-point A&M's favored by 6.5.
Yeah.
Eli Drinkwitz will have his team ready to play. Give me Missouri and the points. I'll take it.
Yeah, I've got A&M. I think that they're just rolling right now, and nobody's really talking about A&M too much, even though they're the third-ranked team in the country. They just don't seem to be getting much pub with what Ohio State, with what Indiana's
doing. They're the Louisville of the SEC, yet they're the third-ranked team in America.
Right? And then everybody's talking about Alabama and their comeback from, you know, are we going to fire Kalen DeBoer already to now they're number four in the country. Then you got LSU and Clemson, all the coaching stuff. Texas A&M's just flying under the radar, and I think Mike Elko and that group just love that fact.
Right. And Grass Guy, I get why you'd fade that game. Listen, just because we put all these up and talk about it on here doesn't mean these are the six that we're actually putting money on our own if we are putting money on. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that point spread either way, Sags, in the game, because Missouri's good at home.
Yes.
Eli will have his team ready to play. And I think, you know, and Elko's defense is really, really good, obviously, at A&M. I probably wouldn't touch it, but if I would, I like the underdog at home, man, even though A&M's been good. I'm waiting for them to have to be in one of those, even though they were, at Arkansas, Sags? That was a field goal game in the 40s, right? I don't think you're going to get that many points out of this because that was an aberration with A&M's defense. I think Missouri can get inside the number. Give me them. I'm a big dog guy this week.
Yeah, I also like the under at 47.5. I like the under. These two defenses getting after it a little bit. I think you're looking at like a 24-17 type game, 27-17, something along those lines you look at it.
Hey, Grass Guy, I'll bet some of these. I mean, we put these up here.
Yes.
So we talk, I'll bet some. But I'm not going to take and bet the over, under, and the point spread on all six, the three NFL, three college. I may pick a couple other games that we don't have time to go through on here.
Yeah.
Because I don't always want to pick the big games. There's times – it's about making money. I may be picking Slippery Rock this week. Who the hell knows, Sags? But so we don't automatically self bet these. These are if we were betting them, how we would bet them. So, but some of these, I'm definitely putting money on a BYU game, and
I am as well.
In the NFL for sure. There's three or four of these that I'm definitely going to put money on.
Yeah, I really like Ravens, Rams, and BYU this week, and the next game we're about to talk about, LSU at number four, Alabama. Alabama, 9.5-point favorite, and that over-under sits at 49.5.
I got Alabama. I don't think LSU is very good. I don't. I think they're reeling, which is obvious when you fire your coach. I know we're waiting for a bust-out. When's LSU's offense against a really good team going to show up? I think Alabama's thinking national championship this year. I think in their mind they feel that. This is an easy pick for me. I love – normally this would be a game – well, normally College Game Day would be at Tuscaloosa this week.
Right.
But that ought to tell you, I think it's a curb stomp. I don't think the game's close. I think at 34-13 type of game, I think Alabama beats them down and takes another step closer to people saying, man, are they this good? I don't think LSU can dig themselves out of the hole, and this won't be LSU's last loss this year.
Ty Simpson is really going to concrete himself as a Heisman finalist, I think, this week with a monster game.
20-1. 20 touchdowns versus one pick. The ball does not hit the ground very often with him.
And don't be surprised if he throws another four or five, assuming they don't get to the one and then just slam it home with one of their running backs. So, yeah, I got Bama big as well here. And I would probably, if I was going to bet it, I won't, but the 49.5, I'd probably take the over just because I think Bama's putting up 35 plus points this week.
LSU. This game of the BYU game, I am definitely betting.
Yes.
The point spreads on
the point spreads. Yes.
No question. Sure.
Yeah. 100% with you on that. All right. That'll do it for us this week. We will be back Monday, our regular 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central time. We're going to have a much different looking show next Monday. We're excited about it. So make sure you're here. You'll get to
see it. We added another piece to our, a piece, a person, a good, yep. Really one we love in the technology part and doing this, which I told you guys a couple weeks ago, we were going to add a couple more pieces between now and in January. And this is another one. And we're so grateful to have him. And we'll introduce him on Monday, let him know. But he's really, really good. And he knows how to do stuff that Segs and I, quite frankly, don't know how to do. Triple E does. But we've got a great team behind the scenes. And in truth, that's why the show goes. We come up here and chatter. But our teammates are phenomenal. And we add another one this coming weekend. He's already on board, but he will debut our stuff on Monday.
So make sure you go to YouTube or X, follow our shows, subscribe, like everything, so you get the notifications when we go live. That as soon as it hits, you can touch the button and then boom, we're there on your screens and you get to see all the new stuff that we have coming next week.
We'd love you to subscribe and tell your friends. We sure appreciate it. And all our, you guys give such great insight on here. You add something to the show every day. So thank you.
Yes,
have a good
sure.
weekend. And again, thoughts to all those families, you know, that are going through difficult times that we talked about yesterday. So
yes, for sure. We will have Coach JB with us on Monday as well to break down the football weekend. I'm sure he'll love all the quarterback play and he'll be excited.
Oh yeah. There'll be nothing that gets him fired up on Monday. All
the quarterbacks will be basically perfect and he won't have anything to say about a quarterback. That's my prediction. If that's Kalshi, it's a 0.0000001% chance of what I just said happened.
Maybe we could get our great friends at Kalshi. Maybe they want to put up, will JB's decibel level be past 105 on quarterback shitty play this weekend? So JB will be with us as he is. Great part of our show every single Monday, and we love having
him. All right. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to all you guys listening and watching. Thanks to you, Sean. We will be back again, 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central on Monday. Talk to you guys.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Peace.